long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. God bless you. Part of the Red Sky Radio Network here. Hey, if you have any comments, please do not hesitate to contact me, which you may do at redskyradio777@gmail.com. redskyradio777@gmail.com. This is the second week of a two-part series dealing with what the Word says about immigration. And I mentioned last week, in fact, if you haven't heard part one, please, please go back a week and listen to it. It sets a stage for this week. And what launched it was, which I shared, was a prayer request in a church that I had attended where they were just praying for all the immigrants, which was a meaningless prayer unless they were talking about illegals. And because there's never been a time where just where there's been a move or a sense of necessity to be praying for the people who are legally visiting our country or have visas to our country. It's never been a necessity. And I was just kind of appalled that we missed a teaching point. But I'm glad that happened because that's what prompted last week's message. And now the follow-up or sequel this week. And it's. I want to start with this passage. It says that you know, if unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman watches in vain. Now that doesn't mean that you don't have walls, you don't have fences, you don't have. We covered all of that last week, so I can't repeat that. But what it does say is that to the extent that you have a city or let's say a country that's not doing what it should be doing, unless the Lord is part of protecting that city, country, whatever you, then all the policemen, all the cops, all the military, the watchmen, it's vain. It's going to get run over. And we have a passage that will blow you away at the end of this presentation today that will be instructive as to why, in part, we are where we are in this country. So, if you got pencil and paper, you might want to jot down some of these verses because I've got quite a few today. I want to start with Malachi 3:5, where it, or if you're in Italian, it's Malachi, but it says there's one law for the native born, and one law for the stranger. So there's one law that covers them. And the law meaning, which I will get into a little deeper, means that there are things that apply to everybody. If you murdered a person who is a citizen, well, it's murder. If you shoot and kill somebody, not in self-defense, but it's just a flat-out murder of an illegal, it's still murder. There are laws, legal or illegal, of a migrant, an illegal alien or a legal immigrant, or a citizen, murder is murder. Rape is rape. Theft is theft. These laws apply across the board to everybody because somebody's illegal doesn't give me the right to steal from them. No, that doesn't happen. In fact, Leviticus 19 helps bring this out even a little bit more, which I will get to here, which says, well, if you're writing things down here, it's Leviticus 19, 33 through 35, and I quote, and if a stranger sojourns in your land, you shall not vex him. So that also says that somebody that's in our land. And out here, it's not identifying whether it's somebody that should be there or not there, because in this case, it was just somebody who was not native to Israel, was in Israel for whatever purpose they were there. But you don't mistreat the person. That law, you treat people equally from that standpoint. Said, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. You shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment or in meat yard, which means weights. You wouldn't, somebody's in your store, you don't charge somebody one price and another person a different price because, you think you can get away with it or take advantage of them under their circumstances. Just balances, just weights, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. So we can see here, and then at verse 20, just down a couple of verses, it says, I shall say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So the point that I was making here, that's made here, that we were making a little earlier, there is one law for the citizen, the immigrant, and actually the illegal as to what can be done. If illegal is as subject to the law for abusing or sodomizing a young child as a citizen would be. There's no difference here. And here, offering up your child to Molech is sort of the Old Testament equivalent, obviously, of abortion. But then go to Ezekiel, chapter 47. I was supposed to have marked this one, and I didn't. But Ezekiel 47, and we're going to start with verse 22, which states that it shall come to pass that you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. Now, this is where some people believe that the idea of birthright citizenship came. And it may be that a person who's in the country, first of all, they are sojourning. They are accepted legally by the Hebrews, whether they were serving as servants, hired help, what have you, whatever their status was, they were accepted and received properly. And if they had children, then they were to continue to be treated as actually kind of one of the Hebrews. This is actually Donald Trump's point, that birthright citizenship is a feature of those born here who are in the country legally. They actually have established a right, either because they've been, they've either been granted permission by way of a visa or a short, whatever it is. It's not for people running across the border and have what they call anchor babies just so that they could be citizens. That's not what this passage says in Ezekiel, and it's not what the U.S. Constitution says. Got that? That's a big passage. Now, look at Ephesians, however, 2:19. Ephesians 2:19, where the Lord's speaking spiritually here to the Gentiles, which were not received into Israel. He says, "Oh, therefore," and these are the ones who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. "You're no more strangers or foreigners, but you're now fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You see, these are the ones who, sort of like Ruth, who had chose to be one with the new country, one with the new country's customs, one of the new country's languages and religion. And with that, with all the rights and privileges accorded to that person. They became sort of like the people who come here to be, they spend their time here to become naturalized citizens. They come legally and with a purpose of being one of us. Not to cross the borders and have whole sections of LA where nobody speaks English or they're speaking Farsi, and the whole idea is to create foreign communities within our country. That is not biblical. And it's not what the passages deal with as far as dealing with strangers and foreigners, though that doesn't mean you can go into some neighborhood made up of whatever ethnicity that has no interest in assimilating and start killing them. No, you can't do that. We talked about that. We covered that. But then go back, if you will, to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, and I'm going to start with verse 43. And so the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No stranger shall eat thereof. Wow. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when he has been circumcised, they may eat of the Passover. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Wow. In one house shall be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all those males be circumcised. Then let them come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, I'm not saying that the males coming into the United States have to be circumcised, but the point is, there's an analogy. The circumcision was a serious step to identify with the host country, Israel, and with their faith, their language, and all of that. And what do I equate that to? The legitimate quest for citizenship. Because you couldn't eat the Passover. Sort of like, what can't you? Well, you can't vote. Although there are a lot of places that are passing laws that illegals can vote in local elections. And, of course, they're getting on the ballots for national elections as well. No stranger can eat thereof unless they circumcise. It's sort of like, you can't vote unless you become a citizen. The circumcision was a sign of identification with a host country. You are now a Hebrew of sorts. You're circumcised. You gain your citizenship. You are an American because you went through the process of becoming so politically circumcised, if I could say it that way. So this wasn't true with foreigners. No Passovers. And interestingly, I throw out another passage here, Deuteronomy 15:3. During the Jubilee, the Hebrews needed to cancel the debts of those who had borrowed from them. Those who were not circumcised, those who remained foreigners, those who were traveling through and had no particular use or identification of the host country, no, the Jubilee did not apply to the foreigners and the strangers, those who had not become circumcised, the ones that had not become identified with the nation of Israel. You could charge it, and you could charge interest to foreigners, but not to the Hebrew or the stranger who it says is chosen to dwell among you, as essentially evidenced by circumcision. Now, so you can see how these passages from Scripture give us and inform us of where we should be as a country, and frankly, why the birthright citizenship is in our Constitution, but it tortures and shreds the Constitution when not applied as it was intended, as I stated from the passage dealing with that. So borders mean something. It's a right to identity, sovereignty, which of necessity includes the absolute right to control our borders. What God calls relevant, if we call it irrelevant at our peril. So the difference between strangers who choose to identify with us, dwell with us, who seek to know and abide by the laws and customs of the land, who are circumcised, in our case, they become citizens, are different than the foreigner as one who has no such interest, which includes the illegal alien. You can't break the law to come into this country. They're not seeking citizenship. And there are certain fundamentals of law, fundamental laws of equity that apply to all, as I said. Scripture speaks and acknowledges a right of the host country, though, to have certain rules that prefer citizens over non-citizens that are lawfully here, but not desiring to become ones who dwell among us as citizens. Now, I realize this can be a tough subject to discern, but there is clarity in Scripture. Our inheritance of this country, just like it was with Israel, is a gift. But as with any gift, if we abuse the blessing may be removed. We could lose this country like the Hebrews lost theirs because of sin. I'm going to read you an alarming passage out of Leviticus chapter 18. Starting in verse 20, it says, "Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife," in other words, adultery, "to defile yourself with her. You shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech," in other words, the Old Testament version of abortion. "Neither shall you profane the name of the Lord God." Goodness sakes, we have profanity everywhere in this country. "You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind." It's an abomination. Queer sex, sodomy. "Neither shall you lie with a beast to defile yourself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down. Therefore, it is confusion." These things actually had punishments. It was called the firing squad. Well, they got stoned. It was death. These are the sins which Israel was committing. And the Lord goes on to say, "Neither shall you lie," "defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you." Wow. In other words, Israel, you got the country you got because I threw these bad people out who were violating all of these laws in a horrific manner, from adultery to queer sex to bestiality to the equivalent of abortion, killing your young children, putting them in the fire. And he goes on to say, "The land is defiled. Therefore, I will visit the iniquity thereof upon it. The land itself will vomit out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments, shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you. And the land is defiled, that the land will spew or vomit you out. And not only you, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you." Wow. Our land is a gift. And if we as a country go south, it will be turned over to others, just as God turned Canaan over to the Israelites. He kicked the bad guys out to bring in those who had a covenant. We have a covenant in this country, and if we screw it up, it's going to be gone, but it's going to be gone by a defilement that comes, that's imported. God will just allow it to come in. It'll be our end. Wow. So it says in Exodus 34:24, this is a passage I referenced earlier that just going to kind of blow you away. Yeah, you can build a wall, and I'm all for it. But unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman watches in vain, as we said. The British invaded in 1812, and the Japanese invaded Alaska in World War II. But other than those two times, we've not been invaded in this country. God has protected us. But going to this passage out of Exodus, the Lord was commanding the Israelites to obey his law. And then he said at verse 23, three times in a year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you, I will enlarge your borders, and catch this, neither shall any man desire your land. When thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God three times a year. Now, we don't have that equivalent. It's not like all the men pack up and go to Jerusalem three times a year from this country. The point is, God had a commandment, which he said, if you're men, and I am focusing on men here, do what I've called them to do to honor me, and this, I will protect your borders. People won't even want to come in. He said, I'm going to enlarge your borders. Neither shall any man desire your land. Isn't that incredible? Won't even desire our land if we as a country do what we should do. So the point I'm making here in this part two is that the issue of our borders, there are some clear rules in Scripture. There are some things which we can do and we cannot do, things that we should do, but ultimately the issue of borders gets sort of mixed with the issue of, are we keeping God's commandments? And if we aren't, the borders become increasingly indefensible. And that takes us to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The last passage I'm going to provide here today. And it's a killer. In my opinion, it's a killer. It's alarming. And if you know Deuteronomy 28, there's a long list of things that God will bless the country that honors him. But there's an even longer list of things that God will judge the country that doesn't honor him. And what has jumped out at me with respect to this passage is that when you get down to verse 43, now keep in mind, but until you get to verse 43, there's a lot of things that God says what he's going to do. You know, your olive oil trees, you're not going to be able to anoint yourself, for the olive oil shall cast its fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them. They shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. Those are only three verses of, what, I don't know, 20 verses that deal with kind of a curse. Then we hit the point that's relevant to today's message. Verse 43. And the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. One of the aspects of the curse of a nation, and particularly in a nation that knew God, should know God, did know God, and I understand and I appreciate everything the president is doing to try to restore biblical values. I do appreciate it. There's only so much he can do. He's not the pastor in chief. He's the commander in chief. He's got a limited role. But understand that the nation that turns its back and is determined to go in the wrong direction, one of the curses is that those who do not belong here will come here or keep coming here, and there'll come a point at which they are in control. We don't lend to them anymore. They control, they lend to us. They're the head, and we're the tail. Their populations grow in these communities. I can tell you right now, there's a finite point at which, unbelievably, Muslims in this country will exceed the number of Jews. And how do you think people, politicians, who are windsocks like Gavin Newsom, just want to see which way the wind blows, are going to go the way which the numbers will help them get elected? And of course, virtually no Muslim country ever ends up being a democracy. That might just be a transition point on the way to a totalitarian Islamic state or whatever it might be. But look at the role that immigration, and in this particular case, legal as well as illegal immigration. And I appreciate our president's statement of, hey, these are some bad countries where we need to not let these people come in anymore. He doesn't even know he's speaking biblically on a whole bunch of things. And I appreciate his effort. Pray for him and just know that maybe this is the last chance, but understand why the immigration issue is so critical. And Christians just think, la-di-da, we just welcome everybody, and we got these stupid Episcopalian and evangelical Lutheran churches that just think, and they think that we're supposed to roll out a red carpet for everybody who chases into this country legally or illegally, one, who are trafficking in minors, I mean, and child, illegal child transport into this country. It's horrific what is going on. But the fact that so many Christians do not understand the proper application of God's word to the immigration issue is one of the reasons why we have an immigration issue. And until we understand it, we won't take action. And yeah, there's action at the presidential level in certain states, but I don't know what happens in 3 years. It's hard to know. But this is an important, important thing. Despite all the scriptural rights to do all that we've mentioned in this message, God could give us over to foreigners like he did Israel. If the U.S. is taken over from our southern border because maybe the people come in, this is hard to imagine. Is it possible to the people coming in for a country that right now seems to love transgenderism and abortion and queer stuff and same sex? I will tell you, most of the foreigners sneaking in across the border don't go for that stuff. Isn't that amazing? Oh my gosh. I got more to say. I'm out of time. Please, please get these messages, if you could, to people who you know don't know the word on this.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Be sure to get these two messages last week and this week on to others. It's critical. And I don't know why this stuff is not preached from the pulpit. It should be. It's part of God's Word. We'll see you next week.